from injury? I mean, what are some of the things you've looked at and maybe put those guys ahead for tonight's game?
We like the fit of Pullman and Morrissey. And as a righty, it's a good fit, and we run them pretty hard against the other team's best. So I don't think it was fair to assess Dmitry Kulikov's game, last game, in that hole against it. It's very difficult if you haven't played your offside comfortably. Bo's just coming back from a month off. We thought for a first game he was solid. We know the hockey can play. Don't feel it would have made him better to keep him out after playing one. He needs to get into another game. The frustrating or challenging thing, I guess, that I felt is Beteto and Spezza had played very well together. Like the last four games in terms of analytics for us, our penalty kill as a pair, those two guys were really good. I didn't want to take one of them out. But with the Pullman going in took precedent in terms of role of where we needed him, so I had to take one of them out. Tony's been very good. Spezza has been really solid on his offside, so that's something we may need to hang on to. And then, you know, I've got eight healthy guys, and the difference would be now probably there's some benefit of the doubt in terms of Kulikov getting a bit of an edge and Boyu getting a bit of an edge because we've seen them play and kind of know what they can do, and they've been regulars in the NHL. Just with this group and with how important Tony really is become in terms of the fabric of our group, I won't let that benefit of the doubt. It's not worth 2 weeks. I don't want to be pulling a defenseman out every time he has an off game. That's the quickest way to destroy a guy's confidence. But I'm not going to let it run 2 or 3 weeks before I get a guy that's been playing well back in.
I know you had solid reports on Neil Pionk coming into the year, but what have you learned about him that maybe you didn't know coming into this year?
We watched the video on him last year, and we would have watched quite a bit of it. He played with Stahl up until the All-Star break against the other team's best. I think I mentioned this, but the first time I remember kind of cluing into Neil Pionk was the opening faceoff in New York. They're on back-to-back games. We were waiting for them. I got Scheif and Casey and Wheels up, and they've got this Neil Pionk kid lined up, and I'm thinking, hey, this is going to be good. And we're down 3-0 after two. We end up winning the game. But on back-to-back nights, he played hard against that. He was quick. The video, I thought he looked an awful lot like Josh Morrissey in his how he processed the game, how he used his feet and his speed, slightly different players. The only thing in analytics that you wouldn't have liked about his game is some of the transition passing, but based on what we're getting out of him now, that's solely based on the style of game they were playing and where their forwards are. This guy's a player. I mean, he's a lot like Josh. He's gonna play his first few years in the National Hockey League. Nobody's really gonna key into him until, you know, the coach on the other team leaves the rink and goes, hey, that kid's pretty good.
10th game for David Gustafson tonight. I mean, it's a big thing for his ELC, yeah, and all those other things. I know you'd like to get him a few more minutes, but what has stood out about his ability to
I think he's getting better, Kenny. Like, he's getting faster and stronger. 18 and 19-year-olds break down. They just do, right? Either it's the third week in camp or it's the middle of November is when their bodies start, you know, the enthusiasm and the excitement of the NHL starts to wane, and now the grind of it kicks in. He looks like he's getting stronger. He's smart. There's not a lot of video form where we got to fix this. It's about experience and time. What's different about keeping a guy like David around now as a 19-year-old is he's actually training for the job that he'll start with in the National Hockey League. We want him to become a driver as a fourth-line center, and then at some point we'll assess where he moves up in the lineup over the course of his career. So we don't feel that even on a low-minute game that we're setting him back.
June showed well in camp.
Yeah.
Adapted to the North American, at least in camp.
Yeah.
What have you learned about him, like from whatever Pascal has said, about how he's adapted at, you know, playing those programs?
So all of that is fine. Like, however he's played with the Moose. He's here for two reasons. One, he's a lefty, and we needed a lefty hole. And the second is he had a really good camp. So we're not that far off camp that's my memory. I want to see him be able to do that in a National Hockey League game. You know, the Moose, a couple of big wins last week, so they're starting to feel a little bit better. But we don't necessarily reach down and say, okay, who scored last game or who's on a point streak. It's the hole that needs to get filled first, needed a left winger. And I ask for him because I remember him out of camp, and I want to see if he can play that game in the NHL.
Connor in tonight.
Correct.
Coach, what did you see that was different or better from Patrick Laine when you had him with Scheifele and Wheeler earlier this season?
The side of the ice that he plays on. So that worked well. They had two or three games where they put up a bunch of points. And then we go pretty close to seven games where I don't think there's an even strength point by the three of them. And the production pressure on those guys is quite a bit higher. So I find he moves better on the right side of the ice, but Blake's there. And as long as those two guys are producing, I'm going to leave those two guys together. But they went a stretch, and it did, right? We had some games there on the road where they scored some big goals for us. Brian goes down. It's not like I'm taking them apart, the most dynamic pair that we got. I almost think for a few games, Ehlers and Roslovic were the most dynamic pair that we had. So I was kind of interested in those two guys going back together, see if I could do that. One of the ways to do that was to move Blake into the middle to keep Patrick in that top six role and not have Roslovic. There's no other really top six forward that I can move down to play right wing with Kopp and Lowry. I know Perreault can go over and play his offside. All of this was as much to do with I really like Nick and Jack together, and it lets me do that. There's no cost on the other parts of our lineup because we don't have a hot pair or a hot line.
So I think it's the four guys that have kind of debuted in the NHL this year would be Heinola, Gustafsson, Cease, Luoto, I think. When you assess how they kind of had that first step, what did you want to see from them that first game so that it was memorable for them? And as Luoto was in tonight, what do you want to see from them?
What you're hoping for is that how they looked to get into that game, whether it's exhibition or in practice, that they could do some of those things in an NHL game. There's so many times you just take the leading scorer of exhibition, right, and you don't really know that name. And in that exit meeting, he's going, man, I just led your team in scoring. How can I not be in opening night or in a higher role? Because the game changes from exhibition to the NHL. It's going to change again. It's going to amp up here in about another 2 weeks when some people start talking about the Thanksgiving cutoff in terms of points, and then it happens again at Christmas. And they don't know that. First-year players don't know that. So what you're hoping for is what you saw in exhibition or in training camp or in practice. They can do a bit of that in the NHL. Can who they are come out in the game without costing you a whole lot? And we saw that at all. So it was a good debut.
Is four uncharacteristic? Or is that in your career? Do four guys make their NHL debuts in one season, less, more? Is that a
No, I mean, you get to that number, especially if you get banged up. I mean, I think 1 year in Carolina, I went through 42 players. Wasn't a good year.
Logan Shaw's an interesting situation because he's mentoring two guys from across the pond. But luckily, the communication isn't an issue because they all speak good English. I mean,
right.
But it's kind of an important role for him right now. For a guy who's starting the age.
It's so good that he's had the NHL games. So the question that maybe we were looking to answer within those debuts, Logan Shaw's answered. So when he comes to the rink tonight, he's not really wondering what's going to happen in the game or what it's going to look like or what it's going to feel like or what he needs to do to have a good game. So that is the veteranness of that role that he can help with those other two guys with, right? We don't have three guys in that fourth line where you're going, shit, I got no idea what I'm going to get. Gustafsson's been pretty darn consistent in what he's done on the ice, certainly. Shaw's got enough games in the NHL that we have an expectation of what he can do. And I think Luoto, sometimes you'll put a really skilled guy in there, right? He's scoring a bunch of points in the American League, but now he's playing in a hole he's actually never really going to play for you in the NHL. He's either going to play in that top role or he's not going to play in the NHL because the grinding role isn't for him. But Luoto, this is another guy that's going to come. That would be the hole he steps into if he's going to play here. And then how far up he can move, we'll see. But this is where the job that he's trying out for is that job.
The two power play units you were practicing out there, it's a pretty strong split of your traditional unit. What's the balance on how you expect to use those two?
Well, there's probably more likely that you'll see Scheif's unit go first because there's a pretty dominant left-hand centerman, right? So Mark gets hot or cold like all centermen do on the nights that he's off. We got an option to move it over to the other side, so we're not as predictable with that unit on faceoffs. I've got, you know, Blake would have the least of amount of experience probably at center ice, but Roslovic's a righty and Perreault's a lefty who, you know, prior to him moving to the wing was a pretty dominant lefty. So, but we'll start more likely with Scheif and Kopp. And then it's fun for the coach because the second unit's got some good players. Whatever unit that second unit is, they want to go. A little of pressure on the first unit to get their business done and get off the ice. It'll be good.
Kopp in that spot that Scheifele traditionally occupies, is that, do you have that much confidence in him as a shooter? Is it about high slot tips? Why do you have him there?
Because of faith and belief between Mark and Andrew that it can work. And it went bar down in practice today, so they were smiling at each other. Mark's got lots of confidence, and so does Andrew, in their ability to do that job. So we'll put them in their positions. At the end of the day, when you look at it, only Nick Ehlers might be out of the position that he normally runs, but it also gives him a place to move down low. He can get pretty dynamic down low. He can get side to side, so we can change sides on that power play real fast. But everybody else is in a position, this includes Andrew, in the position that they want to be, that they feel that they can be successful.
Well, the PK with
All of those guys are an option for us, and what we'll end up doing is splitting Kopp and Lowry after the first rotation, so they'll come out in the second half of it.